Hi gang, thanks for downloading this classic episode of News Fighters. Just a reminder, if you're looking for new original episodes of News Fighters, they're now over on the Irrational Fear podcast feed. So search for Irrational Fear on your podcasting app or go to irrationalfear.com for all new episodes of News Fighters. In the meantime, enjoy this classic News Fighters episode.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
This is News Fighters,
where we fight the news
so you don't have to.
With Dylan Behan.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome to episode 103 of News Fighters for Friday, the 29th of April, 2022. I'm your host, Dylan Bain, the Prime Minister Sogavare of news comedy. Now, it's probably no surprise to anybody that this week I'm, of course, talking about the third week of the Australian federal election campaign. Yes, to quote Bon Jovi, ooh, we're halfway there, please make it stop. Or something like that. Anyways, with half the campaign over, I figured it was a good time to check in on how the network TV photo op pun coverage is going. And let's start with coverage of the day after the French President Emmanuel Macron was re-elected and Scott Morrison decided to visit a French bakery for a photo op to make some macaron biscuits and croissants on camera. Let's see the très bon puns. Bon appétit.
Scott Morrison is delivering election sweeteners up and down the East Coast.
Making one French favourite while congratulating another.
But if you think making macarons is difficult,
there we go.
Healing relations with a Macron will be trickier.
Scott Morrison calls that criticism half-baked.
Mercy, buffoon journalists. But not to be outdone, I think the absolute best pun run of the election so far has to be when Scott Morrison had a photo op without any questions at an outdoor fishing and camping shop on the New South Wales Central Coast to announce a $20 million for fishos, boaties and campers, whatever that is. Roll the puns.
The Prime Minister fishing for votes.
Today he's fishing for votes.
Scott Morrison hoping to lure more Australians to vote for the coalition.
In the New South Wales Central Coast, Mr Morrison hoping voters take the bait.
Winning over the public can require a bit of bait.
Hoping voters would be taken hook, line and sinker by his announcement.
By casting $20 million.
Casting for the votes of weekend warriors.
Although he wasn't keen to be on the hook for any questions on the pledge.
Yes, tune in tomorrow before these puns are thin. But of course, the absolute biggest story of the campaign this week has been the absolute shock that a man who left his house in 2022 in Australia somehow caught COVID. Why, the media just couldn't believe it could happen.
Tonight, an election shock. Anthony Albanese tests positive to COVID-19.
Good morning. Anthony Albanese's election campaign has been dealt a blow. Anthony Albanese's election campaign is in turmoil.
Well, certainly testing times for the Labor campaign.
Albo in ISO.
Fighting infection and the election from his living room.
Australian electioneering entered a phase never before experienced in our 121 years of federation, with a political leader forced to campaign online at home.
Turns out that's not true, actually, because I believe Malcolm Turnbull spent most of the 2016 election campaign online, but he was just on his phone checking his share portfolio and Cayman Island bank balances. Anthony Albanese, of course, finally got COVID because he had literally just been caught on camera bragging about how he hadn't caught COVID yet.
The positive result hours after an aged care visit.
Yesterday, confessing to aged care residents in Nowra that even he couldn't believe he dodged it.
I've been very lucky, I've got to say. A lot of my colleagues, a lot of parliamentarians, because we mix and go around. So far, cross fingers.
Ah, the pride before the fall. The media speculated this wouldn't be the end of Albanese's campaign, however.
The Labor leader is isolating at his Sydney home for 7 days.
He's in isolation in his Marrickville home.
But he's now planning to carry out more appearances via radio, TV and online interviews.
You know, potentially Zoom press conferences.
Yep, back to the world of Zoom for Anthony Albanese.
Yeah, not sure what's worse for Albo, getting COVID or trying to do Zoom meetings on Australian NBN underneath the flight path in Marrickville. Both are pretty bad. Of course, the media tried to portray this as being a major setback for Labor, but even everyone in Labor was like, nah, this is a good thing.
This evening, the ABC has spoken to several MPs within Labor who say that this will have an impact or could have an impact on their campaign, but will not be detrimental.
His frontbench team has stepped in to run the campaign events, adamant that the development could end up being a positive for Labor's electoral fortunes.
Anthony Albanese is still in isolation. Does that hurt his campaign? Some people are arguing somewhat cynically that it helps him because it gets him out of the limelight after that bad first week.
Well, I think it's a positive for our campaign.
Yeah, when everyone in Labor realised, oh, you mean voters will get to see more of Jim Chalmers and Penny Wong for a week, they were like, Albo, just rest up, mate. Stay home another week if you have to. Just take your time, take your time. Even Scott Morrison seemingly welcomed the Labor team stepping up.
I welcome the comparison between my team and the Labor team.
Yeah, I bet Scott Morrison was like, oh, some of Labor's front bench team haven't even had to resign in scandal after assault allegations or anonymous donation and rorting corruption scandals. Why, they're not fit to be in government. They don't even know what being in government's about. Towards the end of the week, however, Scott Morrison did seem to miss his opponent being on the campaign trail.
Albo's out of ISO tomorrow. Have you missed him?
Well, I'm looking forward to him rejoining the campaign. He's had a pretty quiet week. I remember when I was in ISO, I had a very busy week attending quad summits and doing all those sorts of things.
Oh, come on. He's been out there. He's been Zooming.
God damn, I'm sick of Australia's stupid workaholic culture. You can literally get leave shamed by our Prime Minister for taking time off sick when you become infected with the novel coronavirus. Can't anyone just take a break? And I don't mean going to Hawaii in a national emergency. That's different. I mean when they're sick. Anyways, back to the campaign trail. And of course, it wouldn't be a federal election campaign without former prime ministers hitting the hustings. And last weekend, John Howard was out in his former seat of Bennelong. Now, John Howard is 82 years old now. There's no denying he's gotten on a little bit. And I think there's some signs that he's not really paying attention anymore. In fact, I think he might have completely lost touch with reality. Have a listen to this.
Scott Morrison, a man who's demonstrated a mastery of the detail of government.
Yeah, not sure what drugs John Howard is on there, but I would certainly like some. Also, former Labor Prime Minister Kevin Rudd was out on the campaign trail this week, and he said this. Yes, something in Mandarin. Cheers. Thanks, Kevin. We all know you're kind of bilingual. Thanks for showing up to show off once again. Also hitting the campaign trail meeting constituents this week was our current Deputy Prime Minister and Nationals leader, Barnaby Joyce. Let's see what kind of reception he got.
Meanwhile, Nationals leader Barnaby Joyce was the subject of a roadside verbal onslaught yesterday.
You're a piece of Barnaby.
Let's go.
Wow, I haven't heard that much beeping since I watched Kitchen Nightmares on TV in America. Are you sure Barnaby wasn't pulled over by Gordon Ramsay there?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Anyways, to the other big election issue this week, and that's been China signing a security agreement with our close neighbours, the Solomon Islands. And with Albo off sick, the Labour front benches have clearly been trying to out-zinger each other, and the zingiest zinger of the week was Jason Clare.
When we needed a leader, where the bloody hell were you? If you want to build trust in the Pacific, you got to do a lot more than just play the ukulele.
This bloke is so out of touch you'd need the Hubble telescope to find him.
But it's not just all zingers. Labor's also stepped up with its own plan for the South Pacific.
An extra $500 million in aid over 4 years, 3,000 permanent migration spots for Pacific Islanders, allowing seasonal workers to bring their families, financing climate and clean energy projects, and extending the reach of ABC broadcasts.
Ooh, and you know that was a red flag to a certain ABC-hating bull.
What they're effectively saying is they're going to keep doing what we've been doing. There's one difference, though. I sent in AFP. The Labor Party wants to send in the ABC. They have a Q&A solution in the Pacific.
I mean, it's farcical. When their answer to solving the Solomon Islands problem is to have Q&A in Honiara.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the ABC can afford to send Q&A to Honiara when they can't even afford cutlery. It's true, I once bought $40 worth of Kmart cutlery at the ABC and it was all gone within a month. Besides, Q&A did actually go to Fiji in 2019 and it seemed to do a lot for diplomacy in our region. ScoMo, not everyone wants to watch The Masked Singer, okay? Even though hopefully that'll be the only TV show I see you on next year, strumming your ukulele. Unless, of course, MasterChef finally does Curry Week for Kleptocrats. Now, of course, the Liberals are claiming that the timing of China signing the deal with the Solomons is all some kind of big election-interfering conspiracy.
Karen Andrews effectively asserting Beijing deliberately dropped the announcement in the election's second week in order to cruel the coalition's chances.
Why now? Why right in the middle of a federal election campaign? I mean, we talk about political interference and that has many forms.
Wow, okay. First of all, why would China even care who wins the Australian election? We literally have the population of one of their medium-sized cities. We're that insignificant to them. I mean, in 2020, they compared Australia to gum stuck on China's shoe. Would you interfere in an election on gum stuck on your shoe? I wouldn't. And second of all, hey, Morrison government, not everything is about you all the time. Most Australians alone don't care who wins the election. What makes you think anyone in China does? What do you think they're like? Oh, I hope Labor wins. We can have that guy back who barely speaks Mandarin very well. Morrison's also been in trouble from ASIO recently for politicising national security by claiming China favours Labor, for which there is literally no evidence.
Past and present intelligence chiefs have cautioned the coalition against turning national security into a political battlefield.
I'll leave the politics to the politicians, but I'm very clear with everyone that I need to be that that's not helpful for us.
Earlier this year, when you and other ministers made similar comments about China, the head of ASIO said politicising national security is, quote, not helpful. So why did you repeat that comment when our national security agencies are saying it is not helpful? It's doing Australia a disservice.
Well, see, when you're Prime Minister, you're running the government. Public servants don't run the government. Prime ministers and their ministers run governments.
Yeah, sounding a bit Trumpy in there, mate. By that logic, do you also, like, run the police force and the judges, the judicial system? It's not how democracy is supposed to work, ScoMo. Of course, as a man famous for fleeing to Pacific Islands during stressful times, Scott Morrison has gone out of his way to try and make it look like he hasn't been standing idly by during all this. No, instead, he has vaguely threatened the Solomons with some sort of retaliation if they dare let China set up a military base there, but then hasn't said what the retaliation would be.
I share the same red line that the United States has when it comes to these issues.
What do you mean by that?
We won't be having Chinese military naval bases in our region on our doorstep.
What happens if the red line you've drawn in Solomon Islands is breached? Are we talking military action? What sort of response would you have?
Well, it would not be responsible for me to be speculating in public about what Australia, the United States and others would be doing in circumstances such as that. That would not be a responsible thing to do.
Ah, yes, good job. He sure knows how to talk strong on foreign policy, provided you don't ask a follow-up question. ScoMo is like a dad kind of vaguely threatening his kids. Damn you kids, go to sleep. Don't make me come in there or else I'll... not going to say what I'll do. And then on Anzac Day, our Defence Minister Peter Dutton tried to talk strongly against China as well.
As the defence minister goes on the offence over China's pact with the Solomons.
The only way that you can preserve peace is to prepare for war and to be strong as a country.
Ratcheting up the rhetoric after Scott Morrison declared a Chinese military base in the Pacific would cross a red line.
Curling up in a ball, pretending that nothing's happening, saying nothing, that is not going to be in our long-term interest.
Yes, but curling up in a ball and pretending nothing's happening has also been your government's policy towards the Solomon Islands for the last 9 years. And look where it got us. Now all you can do is pretend to draw red lines. Oh, and as for this...
The only way that you can preserve peace is to prepare for war.
Well, that just sounds like a clever advertising slogan from a bunch of military contractors so you spend billions more of our taxpayer dollars on defence toys. Imagine if your kids use that logic. The only way I can preserve peace with my sister is if I prepare all these water balloons. Or the only way I can make sure I eat all my veggies is if we fill the freezer with chocolate ice cream. Yeah. Thanks, Dad. Anyways, all this scaremongering made this grab from ScoMo's Anzac Day speech sound a little bit ironic.
An arc of autocracy is challenging the rules-based order our grandparents had secured.
Mate, there's only one guy in the Pacific right now I'm hearing vaguely threaten the sovereignty of other nations, talk about stockpiling defence weapons, and is delegitimising our democratic institutions by ignoring the independence of our security organisations, and it's you. And on top of that, you're in favour of making it harder to vote and easier to get away with being corrupt. So if there's an arc of autocracy happening in the Pacific, I think it starts at your house. And then on top of all this, there's been some other absolutely major election revelations this week that I barely have time to talk about. First of all, as I suspected all along, Scott Morrison's net zero plan has been revealed as being an absolute sham.
Its candidate in the Queensland seat of Flynn describing the government's net zero emissions by 2050 commitment as flexible.
Zero net carbon emissions by 2050. Morrison's document is a flexible plan. It leaves us wiggle room as we proceed into the future.
Queensland Senator Matt Canavan dismissing the government's net zero emissions plan.
Yeah, well, the net zero thing is all sort of dead anyway. I mean, Boris Johnson's said he's pausing the net zero commitment. Germany's building coal and gas infrastructure. Italy's reopening coal-fired power plants. It's all over.
So, yes, more bad news for the Pacific there. I'm not sure how China's going to be able to build any bases unless they can float. And then second of all, the other big revelation is, surprise, surprise, the coalition's economic plan is also an absolute sham.
Meanwhile, the government made a lower tax guarantee pledge today, replete with the release of this glossy brochure, promising that tax as a share of GDP would not go above 23.9%.
An ironclad guarantee. We won't ensure that we will see taxes increase.
The coalition pledge, unless it cuts spending, which it doesn't want to commit to doing, is just to keep handing down budget deficit after budget deficit and hope to get away with it, and then try and wedge Labor as the high-taxing alternative.
But hang on, they're meant to be the party of good economic managers, right? I mean, Morrison keeps saying things like this.
It's a choice between Mr. Albanese, someone who's never done a budget, and myself and the Liberals and Nationals who have proven economic management and financial management capabilities.
You can't risk Labor. You can't risk Labor because they can't manage an economy, which means there'd be a weak economy.
It's the Forrest Gump principle. You just never know what you're going to get.
Well, all right then, if we're going to be summing up with Forrest Gump quotes, I reckon this week's entire coalition campaign can be summed up with this.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
Stupid is stupid does, Mrs. Blue.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is stupid does, sir.
Alrighty, that's episode 103 of News Fighters. And just a reminder, we've got our celebrity-filled 100th episode Best Of compilation, a video and audio up on our Patreon at patreon.com/newsfighters. Also, I've put up a few limited edition links for sale at our Buy Me A Coffee at buymeacoffee.com/newsfighters, where you can get the video link for just $5. As always, News Fighters is written, produced, and edited by me, Dylan Bain, for Sans Pants Radio. I'm going to be doing weekly election episodes throughout the campaign, so tune in and don't forget, follow us and subscribe on your podcasting app of choice. If you're on YouTube, at youtube.com/newsfighters, hit subscribe, leave us a comment, click like. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at newsfighterspod, and I got a free newsletter at newsfighters.com. That's all. Hopefully, I hear a rumor there's going to be some debates next week, so I'm going to be here to recap those at some point. So, fingers crossed, keep fighting, and bye for now.
This is News Fighters, where we fight the news so you don't have to.
Central to our economic plan also.
Bingo!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.